We did. We're doing Maaseh Shimshon, and the Timnit is wondering how she will get the secret out of Samson, and then she hears footsteps, and it is none other than deceit. Ach kol tzadah ki yikra v'shma, I hear footsteps marching forward. Yidme lekol hagla bat ahavti miyomar ayati. It's like the girl I love, deceit, who is my friend. And here we had a long discussion about the term ahavti, where it shows up in Tanakh, the idea behind the woman being friendly with deceit. And Mirma walks in and says, Ani, it is I. We discuss the humor in that, and we move on to the Timnis. Mi ze hevieh achoti adheina, who brought you here? The Timnis is using terminology that we find only once in the tribe of Dan, when the tribe of Dan was headed to the north to conquer new territory, and they stopped in a pagan household, and they meet a Levite who was one of theirs, and now he was living and heading this temple of pagan worship, and they ask him, who brought you here? How'd you get here? So this term, Mizeh hevieh achoti adheina, who brought you here, is a term we find with regards to the tribe of Dan, Samson's tribe, when they meet a Levite, who should be a positive person. And he is doing his service for what? He's doing his service for pagan worship. He's serving, he's acting as a priest in this pagan temple. And here I want to go in a direction that's a little bit sensitive. So hear me out, don't pounce. But let's trace the steps of humanity and the relationships between man and woman. So we begin with Adam and Eve, which we would expect is the perfect chiduch. God is the shadchan. And not only that, God fashions Eve out of Adam, so it should match perfectly. And within the first day, she serves him a meal, unbeknownst to him, filled with poison. Wow. So where do we find deceit? Mirma. Where do we find Mirma? Starting in Tanakh, where do you first find Mirma? I didn't say it, you did. Okay, let's move forward. Okay, so you say we first find deceit in the snake. Okay.
But we don't have relationships with snakes.
Okay. Let's move forward.
She did have a relationship with the snake, though.
Okay, so we move forward, and we and we come to Yitzchak and Rivka, and we find that Rivka doesn't tell him when she's having birth pains, and Rivka doesn't tell him the prophecy she received that the elder would be subservient to the younger. And then Rivka doesn't tell him when he wants to bless the elder that she's slipping in the younger brother with a lot of fur on his neck and stuff. So Yitzchak should think he's blessing the elder. So again, I don't want to say anything that would offend anyone, but what's going on here?
They had a level, like Sarah too, with Ishmael. She knew he needed to be out of the house, even though Abraham was all hesitant. He was like, how am I supposed to keep?
I didn't even want to go there, because Chazal do tell us that when Hagar got pregnant and started mistreating Sarah, so Sarah gave her tasks that are difficult for a pregnant woman, like cooking meat. There are smells that really bother a pregnant woman. So she gave her those tests, and that's when Hagar broke and ran away. But I didn't want to go there. We won't discuss Rachel and her father's idol worship. We won't discuss Korach's wife. Okay? So we find that women were given a gift, whereas men will very often take things head on. Who you said that to? Right? You talking to me? Right? Men are like very head on. And women will sometimes accomplish much, much more in their roundabout way. in a way that doesn't overtly say what their intent is. Women are given the gift that they beautify things, which is also a way of presenting a facade. It can even be the different mascara and stuff, makeup that they put on, right? So this is part of a woman's strength. This is part of the strengths that were given. It's part of a woman's repertoire, and there's nothing wrong with it. The question is only, where do you apply it? So when Ramchal has the Timnis speaking to deceit and saying, "You're the girl I love. You're my best friend. Welcome back." We could look at that negatively. I'm not sure we should. It's true that it can be applied negatively, but it is a tool, it is a strength that women have. It's a strength to try and achieve what they want in a way that's not necessarily the straight, male, in-your-face way. And it has its strengths. The male approach has its limitations. Men like to look at their approach and say, that's the way to do it. Say what you mean and mean what you say. And women, ask any guy who's married, they'll tell you. They don't say what they mean and they don't mean what they say. So is that really true? Or do they say what they feel and they try to get what they want, but they won't necessarily say what they want? So again, this is food for thought. So back to our, maybe we should give another example. So you guys, all of you I think have had girlfriends, so you'll know what I'm talking about. When a girl asks a guy, "Where do you want to go tonight?" And the guy says, "What do you prefer?" And she says, "Well, what, I don't know, what do you want?" And you say, "Well, why don't we go down to the mall?" And she says, no, the mall's stuffy. And you say, "Okay, so why don't we go to the park?" And she says, no, there are too many dogs there. And you say, "So maybe you want to go bowling?" And she says, "Nah, we did that last week." And you say, "Well, what do you think?" And she says, "I don't know, miniature golf isn't a bad idea, but what do you say?" And you go like, "Wait, if you knew what you wanted, so what are we having this whole conversation for? Just tell me what you want, right?" But there's a female way of approaching things, and we will discuss in our class on the Jewish home the strength of that approach. What's for sure is that it's classical, and people see it repeatedly. Obviously, I shortened the conversation. I made it very simple. But in real life, it's more complex. And it's part of women's strength. Us men are inept at understanding what they want from us. But
why Moshe Rabbeinu had to have Aaron give over the laws? Because he was like all male, straight from Hashem. And I heard this from a rabbi at Nevei, and he was teaching on Rosh Hashanah, and he said, everybody has a male and a female side to them. And Moshe Rabbeinu was male, because he was receiving the Torah, and then he was giving the Torah exactly how Hashem gave him the Torah, so he would talk over people's heads, and like they wouldn't be able to understand it. But Aaron was a man of the people.
No, it's not true. No. Okay. Because when Moshe gave the Torah, he spoke directly. The Gemara in Erevin says he did not speak through Aaron when he gave the Torah. No. That's not true. I'm sorry. The Torah was given by Moshe to Am Yisrael. And Moshe spoke directly to us. Aaron was his interpreter to Pharaoh, not to Israel.
Nope.
Back to our... you have to ask him what he meant. But that's not... No. That's not. Back to the play. So, deceit answers, "It is I." And the Timnis answer, "Who brought you here? Now in my day of affliction, b'yom tzar li." Did we look up that pasuk or not yet? B'yom tzar li. So let's look up. It shows up twice in Tanakh, and both times in Tehillim, in Psalms. So let's open up to Tehillim, Psalms, the 59th chapter. Tehillim 59.
The same thing when we say
it. There it says, "V'yomer David God tzar li me'od," but not "V'yom tzar li."
Oh,
those three words together on a day where I am in affliction, that only appears twice in Tanakh, and both times in Tehillim.
Can anyone get this program? It's very expensive. It's wonderful. Amazing.
The Barry Lan?
Incredible, yeah. I think we have to start searching. You've got a bad hand over there. Right hand. Use it. It's a phenomenal tool. It's the greatest tool in the world.
Yeah. Okay, guys, you open up your Tehillim?
Yeah.
59th chapter.
He's got so deep there.
Tell me when you're ready.
Can you guys share?
Thank you, Roman.
And everybody say hello.
You got it.
Can you guys share?
Do the magic thing.
Magic. I won't be rude.
Tehillim 59. Okay, we're in Tehillim, the 59th chapter. Lamnatzecha Tashchit de David Michtam. We have the following song King David wrote discussing how they shouldn't obliterate his memory, they shouldn't destroy him completely. Bishloch Shul Vishmut Abayit Lamito. This psalm was written when King Saul, who was David's father-in-law, sent soldiers to surround the house and kill him. And so David is in the house. His father-in-law wants him dead. He's done nothing wrong. And he compiles the following psalm. Hatzileini me'ovai lokai mimtkomai tesagaveini. Rescue me, Hashem, from my enemies, from those that have arisen upon me. Protect me. Hatzileini mipoalei avin u'me'anshei damim oshieini. Save me from those that act in sin, the people who are whose hands are bloody. Save me from them.
Which psalm is this?
59. Because they have laid ambush for my soul. I've done nothing wrong, and yet they want to take me down. Let's zoom ahead. Hashem, you don't have compassion over those that are traitors. Let them, they surround me like dogs of the night, and their speech is like swords. They figure who's listening. They could say whatever they want against me. But Hashem, you laugh at all the nations. Hashem, you are my protector. Let's rush down. And we hit the 16th pasuk. Hema yeniun le'echol im no yisbe'u v'yalinu. V'ani ashiru zecha. They're going to have to travel all around searching for food. And I will sing your might, your praise, v'aranin laboker chastecha, I'll sing your kindness through the morning. Ke'ayita misgav li, you were my protector. Umanos, you're the one I flee to. Be'yom tsar li, on the day of my affliction. So what does David HaMelech teach us? When his own relatives turn against him, much as this Philistine's woman's relatives have turned against her. He says, "Beyom tzar li, on the day of my affliction, I flee to you, Hashem." What does she say? "Beyom tzar li, on the day of my affliction, where do I turn?
To the sea."
To the sea. Again, the juxtaposition.
And it's also about family turning
against. Right. It's also family turning against.
She's not turned
over his world, is she? No, that's exactly the point. I'm saying it seems like Ramchal is juxtaposing the two. Let's quickly turn to Tehillim, the 102nd chapter, which is the second place in Tanakh where it says, Biyom Tzar Li. Tfila Le'aniki Yatov, a famous chapter, the prayer of the poor who is bent over in hunger pangs. V'lifnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho, he pours his speech before God. Hashem Shima Tfilati V'Shavti Elecha Tavo. God, hear my prayer. 102, Tehillim 102. Pasuk Gimel. Al tastir panecha mimeni. Don't hide yourself from me. Don't hide yourself. When we speak to Hashem, we speak about revealing Hashem reveals Himself, we reveal ourselves. Tefillah is about clarity. Let me speak about who I am and what's important to me.
We reveal ourselves.
You stand in prayer, if it's a true prayer, then you express what's really bothering you, what's really on your mind, who you really are. Right, but prayer is the expression of that. You borrowed your father's car and you brought it back with a few scratch marks on it. You feel really bad. You honestly feel bad. You should still say, I'm sorry. But he knows you feel bad. Right, but you should still say, I'm sorry. There's something that happens when we actually express what we feel. Al tastel panecha mimeni, David HaMelech says, don't hide your face from me. Biyom tzar li, those are the key words. On the day of my affliction, atayla uznecha biyom kam eraneni. Again, if we look forward, there are many other, he describes how his whole body has been burnt in this terrible state. And I'm not sure if Ramchal is comparing this to her, who was in fear of being burnt. And biyom tzar li, she's turning to deceit. Okay, let's go back to our play. Asher chamadti otach ki ta'azri oti. No, we'll get back there in a second. I have desired you, for you will help me. Asher chamadti otach. Where do we find the word chamadti in Tanakh? Once. The word chamadti appears only once in the Song of Songs. Let's see. Chamadti. Let's see, where do we find...
My cute one, my sweet one.
Chamadti, I've desired, like lo tachmod.
Oh, like chamodan,
chamod, and so on. Chamadti. Let's see the Song of Songs, second chapter. The second chapter follows the first chapter, and the Christians are the ones who actually divided it. So if we really want to understand the second chapter, we have to see the context. So, Shir Shirim Asher Li Shlomo. We begin the book. It's a Song of Songs. Shlomo is a reference to God, Melech Shalom Shelo, the king who owns peace. Mashcheni, we go to the fourth verse of the Song of Songs. The people of Israel say, pull me out of Egypt, I'll run after you. Heviani HaMelech HaDarav, God brings us to His special house. Sinai, He brings us to the temple, the tabernacle that's built. Shechoran Ivenava, and yet we are black. We haven't lived up to what we should have done. We're out in Egypt, but we say, yeah, I'm black, but it's because I'm sunburnt. And it'll pass. Pasuk Vav, Al tiruni shani shchachoret. Even though we're in Egypt and we really messed up, but it's like a sunburn. It'll pass and I'll come back to my regular color. So we turn to the lover, we turn to God and say, how do you let us graze out in the sun and get all sunburned? Take us out from this exile in Egypt. And God answers in the eighth pasuk, if you want to know how to get out of it, go look at the footsteps of the sheep. Go look at how your patriarchs, your fathers behaved. Learn from them and you'll get out of Egypt. And then God describes how much He loved us. He says, you're so beautiful. And we say, you're so beautiful. And God says, okay, we're going to build a beautiful house of cedar trees. We're going to have the best relationship. And we mess up. We do the golden calf. And Anicha Vatzelet Asheron, we begin the second chapter. I am like this beautiful rose in the Amakim, in the valleys, where even though the sun is beating down, I keep growing. And kishoshana ben achochim, even though there are thorns all around, I am still like the rose among the thorns. That's the way God speaks about the people of Israel. The people of Israel turn back to God and say, even though we've been unfaithful, kitapuach ba'atzei ayar ken dodi ben habanim, you are like the wonderful apple tree amongst the trees of the forest that do not bear fruit. So are you, Hashem. Everyone else worships other gods. They get nothing out of it. We worship you. It's like worshiping the tapuach. It's a tree that gives fruit. Bitzilo chimadti v'yashavti. The one place in Tanakh where it says chimadti. I have always desired to be in God's shadow. What did the Timni say? Asher chimati otah. This is her error. You just converted to Judaism, Mrs. Timnis. So life is getting tough. Why don't you talk to God? You have a husband who's a prophet. No. Her desire and the place she turns to in her time of need is deceit. As opposed to chimati, what the Jewish people say when they leave Egypt. Betzilo chimati v'yashavti. My desire is to be in his shadow. So we discussed that last week a little bit. Was her gear authentic or not? We learned the Rambam on that last week. And deceit answers, Hineni le'ezratech ma lach efo. That's a very interesting pasuk. I'm here to help you out. And what do you need here? Tell me. Now these words, ma lach efo, appear only once in Tanakh. Notice how Ramchal is doing this? Like every sentence only appears once. Where does Malach Efo appear? In Isaiah, the 22nd chapter. Let's look in Isaiah, Yeshayahu.
Isaiah is right before Ezekiel, right?
Two before. Jeremiah is before Ezekiel, and before that is Isaiah.
What chapter? 22nd chapter.
Masa Gei Chizayon. The following prophecy was said about the great mountain, the great heights of vision. Which city is called the heights of vision? Jerusalem. That's where prophets would often get their vision from. Okay. Gei Chizayon. So we have a difficult vision, a difficult prophecy about Jerusalem. Malach Eifo. Those are the words we're looking for. What happened to you? Ki alit kulach lagagot. Why have you all climbed to the roofs? Teshu'ah mele'ah. What happened that you've all climbed to the roof? Obviously there's a siege. Obviously you're looking out to see who's coming to threaten you. The city that was always bustling and humming with joy and happiness. And people will die of hunger. They won't even die by sword. They won't even die at war. Because their leadership is down. And all the leaders will be taken into captivity. And that's why the prophet says, leave me alone. Let me try. Let me cry. Because the downfall of my people is so terrible. Malach Efo. So where do we find the term Malach Efo, where there is a description of destruction? So here Ramchal has a play on words. She says, I'm here to help you. Malach Efo. What are you worried about? No, Malach Efo in Tanakh means, why are you being destroyed? Not why are you worried, but why are you really being destroyed? Why are you climbing the rooftops, which is your destruction?
But weren't they also climbing to the rooftops because they weren't putting the emphasis... talking about the whole process of them fortifying the city as opposed to praying to the in the Mishkan and doing things the way that they were supposed to as well.
Yeah?
So isn't this also a reference when it's saying Malach Efo, and saying you're doing something in the physical world as opposed to the kibum?
I hear, that's not what I understood in the prophecy, but I hear.
In Maaseh Shimshon. In other words, possibly the reason that it's saying Malach Efo is that it's the same reason. It's like you're coming to fortify the walls and make sure that your family's house is secure.
They didn't climb the walls to fortify the city. It was the women and children who weren't going out to war who climbed the they climbed to the rooftops to see how many enemy is there. How many people are standing outside our gates?
But in the same prophecy, it's talking about destroying houses to fortify walls and this and that and that in the whole city.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe that's
right. I hear. Yeah, it does say that. So you want to say the focus was on the physical instead of the spiritual. I hear. It's a very nice idea. It's a very nice idea. And we'll conclude with Matehemi, which appears twice in Tanakh in two adjacent chapters in Tehillim. Matehemi. And it's Chaval, we should miss out because it's very unique how it shows up in Tehillim. So I guess we'll pick up here with Matehemi next week. Mezrat Hashem.
We don't have 5 minutes? What time tomorrow?
We end like 2 minutes.
Are we taking someone 12 or 10 minutes?
Last night they started on time. It's a tricky.